B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I wish I could explain it better than we've been talking about it.
But it's just, it's extremely frustrating to think of a front office, a coaching staff, and a medical staff that was like, oh yeah, we feel okay about Carson or about Nelson Agholor going out there being a game time decision. And next thing you know, they have three active wide receivers.
But one of the things I did like about the younger guys, they showed that they were hungry and they want to go out there and go compete.
Oh yeah.
And that's all you need.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. One of the best reporters you can talk to when it comes to the Eagles. He's our good friend of the program, Mr. Zach Berman from The Athletic, joining us right now. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Listen, just a real quick, we talked about some of the injuries, Lane Johnson, Alshon Jeffrey. What's the latest you've heard on those two?
You know what? I don't have anything substantial at the moment. I will know more in about 3 hours. So if we have this conversation in 3 hours, I can give you a much better update.
All right, we'll start a podcast. We'll call you immediately after the press conference. Zach, coming out, look, everyone knows it was a two-win team. Everyone knows Eli Manning doesn't exactly have the stuff anymore. How much, though, can you take out of a win like this against such a subpar opponent?
Well, I think you can take out the fact that they're still alive. I mean, that's obviously the most important thing.
Yes.
And then they got some contributions from players who you really didn't expect them to get contributions from. And then I think the biggest thing, regardless of what happens this season, is I think you saw something from Carson Wentz. And I kind of thought going into this final stretch of games that the most important thing that could happen for the Eagles is just there not to be any questions about Carson Wentz. After that Seattle game, I think they were legitimate questions. And I think the way Carson played in that fourth quarter and in overtime said a lot about him and certainly, I think, is reason for optimism going forward.
Now, what was it about Carson Wentz that you saw change in the second half? Because the first half, he seemed a lot like that guy that we saw against the Seahawks. But in the second half of this game, he seemed a lot more even like that guy in 2017. How much of that was his competition? How much of that was adjustments?
Well, I don't think it was as much competition. I think some of it was adjustments. They were going tempo, and he was rolling out. He was improvising. I think, frankly, that the playbook was probably a little more basic, for lack of a better term. You know, you're down to some really inexperienced players, guys playing out of position. I think in that case, you're really just trusting your quarterback to make plays sometimes. And then also, guys were making plays for him. You know, that can't be overstated. I mean, Boston Scott was making catches, run after the catch. You saw Greg Ward outside of that pass in the end zone. Make some nice plays. You know, I think the guys around him helped him too. So all of that combined, but Carson Wentz it was not the best he's played, but it was Carson at his best in the fourth quarter and in overtime. And he had not won an overtime game since he's been here, and he was just on fire during that last drive in overtime.
Speaking with Zach Berman from The Athletic, Zach, how does this happen where a team seems so sold on Mac Collins, where a guy like Greg Ward comes in and has an impact? Nelson Agholor struggles. Greg Ward has an impact. Boston Scott with Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard being out of the game, Miles Sanders leaving for a time. Boston Scott comes out and he helps the offense spectacularly in this game. How does it happen with these practice squad guys or these under the radar guys? How does it take so long for them to be given the opportunity to have an impact?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's why there shouldn't really be any victory laps for the Eagles over what happened with Boston Scott or over what happened for Greg with Greg Ward. Greg Ward's been in the building since 2017. He was on the practice squad during the Super Bowl season. I mean, Boston Scott was with them all year last year. So you're saying, or not all year, but for a lot of the year last year or the last month of the year. You asked why it happened. I think in both those cases, they trusted some more experienced players, guys who've been around. Obviously, Darren Sproles, Matt Collins. But where I think it's a little more egregious is the Eagles signed Jordan Matthews instead of promoting Greg Ward. They signed Jay Ajayi and get him involved in these offenses these past 2 weeks instead of Boston Scott. So sometimes I think they lean too much on familiarity and not enough on kind of youth and unknown. And in some of those backup reserve spots, it's okay to not know if you have fresh legs or you're really trying to see something that you haven't seen yet.
Speaking with Zach Berman, any chance now they re-sign Jordan Matthews if anything hits the fan, really, with Alshon Jeffrey?
Well, it's a good question. So, they don't have numbers there, and it's hard to find guys at this point in the year. That being said, in the same spirit of the conversation we were just having, they have three players on practice squad. A few of them in Marcus Michelle's case, he was with the team in training camp. The other two guys have been on practice squad for most of the year. So you could also say maybe you go with them and try to get fresh legs.
Zach, you mentioned tempo, the rolling out, the improvising of Carson Wentz last night that made him look so good, playing at his best, as you put it. Why is Doug Peterson so reluctant to do more of that?
Yeah, I think part of it is I don't want to say Doug gets it in his own way, but obviously you can't be basic all the time, or you do want to a game plan and try to confuse the defense. But I do think there's validity to just put the ball in your quarterback's hands and let him make plays. I don't want to be as simplistic as saying it's like backyard football. But what I am saying is that when you're paying a guy $128 million, let him be the $128 million quarterback. It's part of it is that you do need the game plan, but I also think they need to trust Carson.
Speaking with Zach Berman, Zach, the other part of this is going into the game, they decide to have Nelson Agholor as a game time decision. That hits the fan. What was your reaction when you found out the Eagles were going to have three active wide receivers for this game?
I thought it was irresponsible roster management, and I don't say that lightly, but if you listen to the press conference on Saturday, I asked Doug Peterson about this, about promoting someone. And he said that if they had to go in with three, they'd be fine because of Josh Perkins' versatility. And I wasn't sure that was really the case, and it turned out to be the case. And I get what they're saying about Perkins' versatility. He's a tight end by position, but he does have receiver background. That being said, I think they left themselves exposed to the situation they were in, that if one player went down, they're really thin, and you're playing guys in spots they're not used to, whether it's moving Zach Ertz all around, playing Greg Ward in the X or the Y spot. The X or the Z. So there are a few things there that they left themselves exposed to. I think the risk they ran is they didn't want to promote a guy and cut a back the roster player, but you're really kind of trusting that Craig James or Sua Opeta or Nate Herbig are more valuable than the chance to possibly win a game because you don't have depth at that spot. So they weren't necessarily burned by it in the result, but I do think it was irresponsible roster management.
Zach, is Jim Schwartz designing a defense that kind of has to showcase Malcolm Jenkins for what he does best, which looks to be staying in the box and not getting out in coverage? Or is it a case where he's just putting him in where he is to hide the fact that he can't play safety anymore?
I disagree with you that Malcolm can't play safety anymore.
Well, I shouldn't say play safety. We don't see him anywhere besides most of the times in the box. He's not, back in deep coverage a whole lot.
I hear you. Although they're very seldom a two deep team, and when they are, there's usually a reason for it. I think if you have a player like Malcolm Jenkins and you're playing him as a deep safety the whole game, you're really not using him properly. So I don't think there's an issue with the way Schwartz is using Jenkins. I think part of what makes him valuable is that he can play in the box. He can play in the slot. He can do a lot of different things for you. He's a different skill set than Rodney McLeod. I think they complement each other well. But to use Jenkins, say, the way like the Seahawks used Earl Thomas, I don't think that's the best way to use him.
Zach, where'd you get your bedside manner? We applauded you last week because of how you asked the question about the downside of calling a timeout before that trick play with the Dolphins. We applauded you, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that. No, I think you know, you're trying to get an answer, but you know, I want an answer more than a sound bite. So, you know, I'm trying to get the guys to think instead of trying to just, you know, have myself be heard on the press conference.
Well, you're doing a fine job. We even said that if anyone had to break up with anybody, maybe they could hire you to break up with that person for them because you're so charming.
I hope I never need to find out.
Zach, last thing before I got to ask you a hoops question. I know what a big hoops fan you are. What's the deal with Joel Embiid, man? He seems mopey this year.
Yeah, I think obviously with the way last season ended, and you know, changing the roster, there's obviously a lot of pressure on him. I wouldn't be worried about it. I would gamble on Joel Embiid.
Are you confident the Eagles can win this division?
I'm confident that that week 16 is going to be a championship game for them. Ooh. I mean, I really don't know how they're going to look going into that game, but I will say that if you told them at the beginning of the year you'd have a home game against the Cowboys with a chance to win the division, they would take that. And I think that's what it's going to be.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. The last thing for you, Zach. Somebody's actually reminding me on Twitch here. This is a good question. Do you know when DeSean Jackson would be available again?
Yes, the second game of the playoffs, if they make it there.
Understood. Zach, always good catching up with you. Thanks so much, brother. You have a good rest of the week.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, take it easy. You know what? He didn't say no to the breakup thing. Maybe he should get on Cameo or something like that and be able to, you know.
I like how you told him about he'd be the breakup guy, and then you brought up Joel Embiid like you were tying.
That's a reach.
You had one thought on your mind, and the other one tied right in. I saw what was coming out of your mouth.
Is that Freudian?
Could have been
when two things are tied together unintentionally.
Yeah. We're a little bit worried about
where does the mother come into play with that?
Yeah, does it always have to involve the mom?
Yeah.
With Freud?
Yeah. But you said tied together. You know,
the Eagles.
And by the way,
they won last night.
I'm trying to do a serious interview, and you're in my headset going, that's what she said.
Well, Bob had a good one. I had to let it be known, and I didn't want to interrupt the interview.
Can we get a little shaboogie? Can we get a little shaboogie? I think we need a little shaboogie after that. And celebrate. Yeah!
Yeah.
Nice pick me up.
Jimmy in Lehigh Valley. Let's talk some Bruce. Jimmy, thanks for holding, brother. What's on your mind, brother?
What's up going on, guys? Hey, first and foremost, I want to say that BG isn't going to say no names because he ain't no snitch.
Uh-huh. All right. By the way, you know what? Real quick, Jimmy. Mike Scott was at the game last night. People
were was he wearing a Redskins jersey?
No, but he was pulling for the Eagles because he wants anybody but the Cowboys to win the division. And people were, Trey, I'm sorry, they were throwing shade. There's no other way to describe it. They were throwing a lot of shade in the direction of Mike Scott.
Okay. Man, I love Mike Scott.
As do I.
So I got 2 points. One, I want to say what I learned last night, it's basically what people say the difference between the NFL and college football is. These young kids came up. They're not making a whole lot of money. They're not playing for the money. They were playing for the pride and the love and just wanting to win. It looked like Boston Scott and Greg Ward just wanted to be successful. They weren't worried about other stuff going on. They weren't worried about who doesn't like who or anything. They just wanted to go out there and make a play. And it helped us at the end.
Yeah, and I think when people talk about bad wide receiving cores in the past, people will always talk about James Thrash and Todd Pinkston.
Uh-huh.
I would take James Thrash and Todd Pinkston over the bunch that we've had for the vast majority of the season any day of the week, any week of the season, because at least with regards to one exception, Sean Taylor lurking on Todd Pinkston, they wanted to make a play. I have not seen a group of wide receivers that did not want to make a play more so than this wide receiving core that we've watched for the vast majority of the season. Greg Ward, yeah. Josh Perkins, at least they wanted to go out and make a play for their quarterback.
Yes, they did. And just transitioning over to that, I think there is something seriously wrong behind the scenes with Alshon Jeffrey and Carson Wentz, because it almost seems like it's tit for tat with them. Like, Carson will throw a good ball, and Alshon doesn't even try and catch it. Like, he's trying to make him look bad. But, I mean, I love Carson, but last night it looked like he wasn't even giving Alshon a shot. He was throwing the ball a yard in front of his feet.
Yeah.
The ball was hitting the ground a yard in front of it. Like, he wasn't even giving him a shot. I think these guys have a serious, serious personal problem, and I don't think it's going to be fixed. I think there's no other solution than to let Alshon go at the end of the season, because Carson Wentz can't play with Alshon Jeffrey.
You might have to eat it. Thanks for the call. If you're going to have your franchise quarterback be the guy, you can't have any more dissension in the locker room.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have to cut bait. I mean, some of this is going to be some guys that you like, dang, man, that's going to cost us. But, hey, you know, right now you just see what the fresh blood is bringing in Carson. I mean, he played with a little bit more energy, a little bit more enthusiasm. I mean, you know, especially after Jeffrey went out, he's like, all right, you know, he kept that fire going. And the guys went out there and they responded and they made plays for him. So you're going to have to cut bait.
And that problem may have been solved for them. Mm-hmm. If this injury is what we're suspecting, that it could be a torn Achilles, he's probably out next year.
Yeah,
you most know. Likely. So the financial ramifications and all—that's what the Eagles are going to have to figure out. But as far as the on the field Carson and Alshon Jeffrey, it may have already been figured out.
Well, if a guy, there was an Achilles with Brandon Brooks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he came back.
Yeah,
can a wide receiver do the same thing as an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they all do can do it, but I mean, now when you're talking about, yeah, that's a totally different position though. When you're trying to cut and come out of breaks, mm-hmm. and all of the other stuff that happens with the wide receiver position, I'm thinking it would take a little longer. Mm. You know, just so that he can feel comfortable with what he needs to do at that position.
More cutting and breaking and sharp movements. And
yeah, it would seem for a wide receiver that it might. But I don't, you know.
You never know.
You don't.
Right.
You don't.
But either way, it looks like
not
would,
good.
It would be in the best interest of the Eagles to have him anyway. But here's the deal. I mentioned Mike Scott. Last night, a guy named Christian Talbot put out on Twitter, Mike Scott in a suite watching the game.
He was with the Sixers six-man guy, the white
Allen.
Guy.
Allen Horowitz. Great dude. Love that guy.
Yeah, he was with him.
He comes out, and he's in the suite, and Christian says, saw the goat at the Eagles game at Mike Scott. Mike Scott being Mike Scott, quotes the tweet and says, need y'all to win out, can't have the Cowboys winning the division, ain't nobody but anybody but them, basically. So then people are tweeting him, you ain't even an Eagles fan, bro, you a Redskins fan, shake my head. And it's like, yeah, anybody but the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Like, Mike Scott was getting after it last night on Twitter. I said that Twitter was far more interesting than the actual game for about three quarters of this game last night. And Mike Scott was one of the people keeping it pumping, keeping it hopping, if you will, Trey.
Okay.
Let's get Kevin in Newcastle County. What's up, Kevin?
I feel you. Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Kevin?
Look, man, that Charlie Weiss, man, that prediction almost came through. That
it almost did. I thought of you.
I was a little heated, man. I was thinking of you guys, too. But they did show me something. And I texted a couple of my buddies. I said, man, they used your Scott like they would normally use, like Sproles. So, and also with our son Jeffries, this the case, man. They just got to, it ain't our money, man. They just got to eat that money and just move on, man.
Find a way to make it work.
With the Steelers and the Patriots, no matter what the situation is, man, and these guys have won many Super Bowls, you know, it's next man up mentality. You know, you talk about injuries and everything like that, but in 2017, we had a lot of key injuries, man. We had more injuries then than that, and we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with you, Mark. I kind of agree with the drop passes. Because if we had drop passes, man, because injuries are a part of the game. If we had a lot of them passes that was caught more so than drop, you don't know where we are, but we are what we are, and let's just go from here. one game at a time. And if we win the division, hell, we win that first playoff game. And then D-Jack get back. Then Carson Wentz can throw that long bomb because he won't overthrow DeSean Jackson. He can outrun anything.
You're damn right.
You understand?
It's impossible to overthrow DeSean Jackson.
E-A-G-L-E-S, all the way, baby!
Sorry, brother. I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were done with the Eagles champ. Yeah. I want to get an update on our Twitter poll in a second.
Where's our 20-game parlay guy?
That's right.
Yeah, he won.
Did he win? Who did he have?
He needed the Eagles to win.
He had Eagles money line, I think, was the final.
Oh, he had Eagles money line? Okay, okay.
50-game parlay.
I hope he didn't have the spread.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was saying he took a lot of money lines.
I think he did money lines.
Yeah. Was that Q yesterday? I don't know.
I believe it was Q.
I think it was Q, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to call and give us all the picks that
Yeah, because I forget
to hear them all. Yeah.
I want to hear him name every team ever.
Hopefully,
ever
congrats, Q.
Including the Syracuse Nationals, I think, were also on his parlay. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Here you go, by the way, for Carson Wentz, who finished the second half in overtime with 228 passing yards and two touchdowns. It's the fourth most passing yards in the second half slash OT of a game that Carson Wentz has had in a game, and the most he's had in a win. That's how much he turned it on in the second half in overtime. Second half, he was 22 of 31 for 228 yards and two touchdowns after throwing for just 97 yards in the first half on 11 of 19 passing. But Sam Wilson, how are the people feeling about this Eagles team right now when it comes to the division?
Today we asked, are the Eagles winning the division, yes or no? We have just under 900 votes. 57% say yes.
It has not moved the needle all that much when it comes to confidence in this team, at least just winning the division. It's going to come down, as Zach Berman just told us, as we've been saying all morning, to that week 16 game being your first playoff game. Like, that's what it comes down to. It's basically a win-or-you're-in situation.
Yeah. Which is fun.
And that game's a national game. Does Fox have that game, I assume?
Yeah.
At 425?
Yeah. I think it's protected.
Usually the national games are.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking...
NBC would love to have that game. We know how much they like the Philly-Dallas game.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, if that's protected.
Look, I'm not saying it's getting flexed. Just saying
it's likely
wheels are turning.
Yeah, NBC would do everything in their power to get that game. But yeah, Fox is also going to do everything in their power to protect it because it's a regular season playoff game.
Fox and CBS, just for other ramifications, would riot. If that ever happened, they'd lose their minds. Let's get E up here. Oh, E in Norristown has an Eagles prediction. What's up, E?
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Good, man. What do you got? What's on your mind?
I was calling back about my Eagles prediction. I don't know what your producer said, but I was calling back about my prediction that I had back in October.
Oh, what was it?
When I called you guys and said that we were going to come into Sunday's game 7-7 and how Dallas would have had four games that they were going to lose after beating the Cowboys, after beating the Giants. And so it's pretty much going exactly what I said because I had Vikings, Patriots, Cowboys and Rams, and they lost the same four, but I didn't expect the Bills. And I still think they're going to win with the Rams. So but right now it's looking like we're going to come in 7-7 and win it. But here's my thing. That's a prediction. Let me talk about my guy, Carson Wentz, okay? I'm calling from Carsonville, Pennsylvania, because that has been my guy. Even when people were down on this entire team, locker room talk, whatever, Carson Wentz is that dude. And people can say, oh, he rose up on a 2-10 team. Didn't they get their ass handed to them by a 2-10 team just last week?
Damn right.
So, with that being said, he performs in the clutch. He leads his team to 20 unanswered points, 5-0 against New York, and wins in overtime. All on his shoulders with CFL. You guys see CFL. I'm more of high-grade quality college players. That's what I saw in the field last
night. My man.
But the only thing that changed, and this is what, and Trey, you could probably speak to this, football is a mental game, almost more than physical. 50-50, sometimes 60-40 mental. Same quarterback, same offensive line, pretty much, except for Lane Johnson out. Different, almost a brand new different offensive weapons. He's got less talent, but better attitude. And the whole offense changed. Same coach, by the way. Not trying to get dug out of this one. Same plays being executed. But these guys were like, this is my guy. Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, all these other dudes. I'll give you 50%, Carson. Are you kidding me? This dude shows up with CFL players and start to roll with it. Like, I'm looking at the screen, like, is this the same quarterback? The head coach is my guy. But who the hell is he throwing to?
Nobody knows. Look, guys that we were.
That guy catches a crazy. This dude tracked the ball backwards for 5 yards.
Yes.
You can't do that?
Yep. We're with you. We're up against it, man. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the passion. And look, that's where we want to be.
Yeah.
We want to have those guys on the field making those plays. Real quick, people are talking about protecting games. It does matter. I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but ultimately what matters is money. And if the NFL can make more money off putting a game in prime time, a negotiation process. Look,
yeah.
The game's not getting flexed. Let me get that out of the way. The game's not getting flexed. The Eagles Cowboys will not be on Sunday Night Football. It's not happening. But I'm just saying that as far as protection goes, a negotiating period happens where one network will give up something if they think they can maximize more recently. It's happened in the past where,
like a playoff game. NBC could say, hey, you get dibs of the playoff choice on Saturday.
Exactly.
We'll take whatever sloppy seconds you don't want, and you could work it out. But Fox is going to do everything, including shanking NBC if they have to protect that game.
Wow. Right. And it says in the legal document, sloppy seconds of a national football broadcast.
Yeah, and shanking.
There we go. Yeah. And shanking.
Yeah, and we'll shank you.
Yeah.
If you try and take
it. If you sign the contract in blood, that's what happens. All right. Coming up, we'll let you know some people that were reaching out on Twitter to help the Eagles yesterday. Time of the Fanatic, 925.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
I'll say it again. Twitter was better than the actual game, at least in the first half. At least in the first 2.5 quarters. And as I mentioned before the break, there are a couple of people reaching out to the Eagles to offer some assistance last night, Trey. One of them was your former teammate, Asante Samuel.
Uh-huh.
Asante Samuel took to Twitter. And I think people know why this is weird that he said this during this particular football game. But he said, put me in for the second half. I can get 2 interceptions off Eli and get us right back in the game. Howie? And he tweeted Howie. Howie doesn't have Twitter, but he tweeted Howie.
Uh-huh.
And he gave 6 exclamation, the 5 exclamation points, hashtag pick 6.
Okay, he meant business.
Yeah.
Howie's not on Twitter?
I don't think Howie's on Twitter.
How about that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But Asante Samuel tweets that out. Why is that weird? Do you know why that's weird?
He's definitely got a burner account.
He's had a couple burner accounts, I think.
Yeah.
I remember, in the early stages of Twitter, somebody thought that he actually tweeted out something against the Eagles, and it turned out to be just a fake account. It wasn't even his account.
Yeah, I mean,
allegedly.
I think all these guys have burner accounts.
Yeah, they monitor.
Yeah.
What's weird about Asante Samuel tweeting this? He'd have 2 interceptions against the Giants?
He didn't have one in the Super Bowl?
Bada boom, bada bing, right there. A little odd.
Yeah.
Not the fact that he's like, 41 now, 42?
Yeah.
Whatever he might be. Also, Reggie Wayne reached out on Twitter as well and said, I think I can make the Eagles receiving core right now. And I'm at a bar. That's my favorite part about that. Tony Taxi, what's going on there, brother?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Listen, man, I got a whole different approach, man. For 3 years, I've been saying the Eagles need receivers. I'm trading. I'm Eagles. I'm getting in the top 3. I'm taking Jewelry from Alabama for my number 1 next year. And then my second pick, I'm picking up another stud receiver. And then I got 5 rounds to find defensive backup. But I think they got to focus on that. And as far as Wentz, the past few weeks, his play has been horrendous. But he needed to step up when he had to, and he did. Those passes were on time, ball placement, everything. Mm-hmm. I think they're ready, but they can't go but so far because of the lack of offensive talent. I will rock out with the backfield the way it is next year, but you got to bring stud receivers in there next year, and that's how I will go about it.
I really did have this feeling of not, I guess, validity, but whatever it might have been, validation, whatever. Watching Eagles wide receivers last night, not even wide receivers, watching receivers last night, wide receivers, tight ends, whatever it might be, running backs, guys that just wanted to be out there to make a play. Carson had a lot more success with those guys, more steady offense in the second half with those guys than he has all year. When's the last time you saw really 2 quarters put together like that with Carson Wentz? With just having guys that wanted to make the play. That's why when you compare this receiving core that he's had for the vast majority of the season to other wide receiving cores, I've never seen a wide receiving core not want to make a play. Those guys last night at least wanted to make a play for their quarterback and for their team.
Yeah.
And that's where Doug Peterson got to step aside and bring someone who can assess talent and bring the type of players that he needs. This boy has not has had any real weapons since he's been a Philadelphia Eagle, and that's it. You know, so and everybody said, why is he going to hurt so much? Well, he's the only one that proved to be somewhat reliable for him. That's all he got. That's why he's looking for him all the time.
Yeah, and hopefully when they get Tony Taxi, thanks for the call, man. Hopefully when they, you know what, Bob, when they make the playoffs?
Uh-huh.
Hopefully when they make those playoffs, you get Deshaun back maybe in the second week of the season, second week of the postseason. Next thing you know, totally different ballgame.
Yeah, really? You cooking with grease.
Cooking. You're cooking something. You're cooking something up.
Okay. Oh, who's playing defensive back for you?
Bob, you and your details. Oh, you and your details, man.
You're right. My fault. Maybe by then, Asante Samuel will be in shape, and he can come back and play.
Real quick, speaking about people being in shape, does Joel Embiid play tonight?
Yeah.
There we go.
There's that answer. That's what we needed.
Why? Did I miss something?
No. We were just asking.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's any question he plays.
Okay, good.
Jokic might be a little slow out there. He's probably going to house a couple cheesesteaks pregame.
Game was changed to 8 o'clock so it could be the national game, you know how much the Sixers organization, you know, relishes those primetime games.
Yeah. Joel out there. About that? The Sixers got flexed. Go figure.
Yeah.
Let's get to, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, you want optimism? How about our man Jared in Lindenwall? And I want to talk about Carson Wentz and those tickets he won for the American Cancer Research. Those people, American Association for Cancer Research, Rodney McLeod and all that. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing good. No, I won a ticket from the Know the Show last week. But I just want to say...
all right, little miscommunication over here. Yeah. Lucy, kill, whatever it might be. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, man, but I just want to say thank you so much for hooking me up with the tickets. Me and my friend, she had a good time and everything, and she was going a little harder during the game than I was. But I definitely wanted to
explain.
Jared,
back up.
Back it up a little bit, Jared. What happened? What's going on?
She was, let's just say she was using colorful language during the game and everything.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a little disappointing. Never mind. That's not what we thought you meant. But go ahead. What'd you think?
But also with Carson Wentz, man, I was like, for the first time, I think he basically turned, he made chicken salad out of, you know, chicken bleep with the guys that he had on the team and everything. And it seemed like the young guys, they wanted to make plays. I'm talking about like Greg Ward and everybody else. And it was like, you know, like Alshon, there was that one point where he threw the ball at his legs and it looked like he really didn't want it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
People, when I was sitting with during the game, everybody just knew that they were like, yeah, he really wants it and everything. And unfortunately, he got hurt and everything. But it just seemed like for the first time, like, that got, like, even though the situation wasn't right for Carson, he made the best out of it. It was not like the Atlanta game where like guys were like, oh, he would have had this guy, he would have had that guy. Carson Wentz finally just played with who he had, made the plays he had to make, and got us in a situation to win the game. And I couldn't be more proud of the guy.
There you go. That's just people being... Jared, thanks for the call, and congrats on winning.
Thank you.
All right, see,
Carson Wentz was a playmaker. Wow, imagine that. I mean, my God, is it rocket science here?
No, you're using a guy who's an athlete to do athletic things on the field.
Week 13, all right, now let's give that a try once everybody else gets hurt, you know.
Look,
my God.
None of us are ignoring the bad things that came out of this game, and nobody is excusing Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, or anybody in the coaching staff for making awful decisions. How did Zach Berman term it? Irresponsible? Irresponsible roster decisions.
The exact word he used.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I mean, I got other words that I could say that surround, you know, other adjectives and expletives I could use to describe it as well. But how do you go into a game saying, oh, yeah, we're confident Nelson Agholor can play. Game time decision, he can't play. That's a failure, giant failure, by your front office, by your coaching staff, and your medical staff. To have you think it was that close to being a game time decision, he can't go for you, and you have three wide receivers active on game day for a must win. I don't know if there's any better way to sum up the ineptitude of this front office, coaching staff, and medical staff than that very instance.
Real quick, does some of it fall on Nelson Agholor?
Yeah, I guess because he doesn't. I mean, you're supposed to know your body better than anybody, right, Trey?
Yeah.
And to say, I mean, look, I don't know if it falls on him or he's honestly, who knows? Maybe he really wants to be out there and just really hasn't shown it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It didn't seem like it.
All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, something else happened in the world of sports that had nothing to do with football yesterday. We'll touch on that in just 1 second here on 975, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
The thing that happened outside the football world yesterday, Steven Strasburg signed.
Not with the Phillies.
No. 7 year deal. $245 million?
7 years for a guy that's had, what, two healthy seasons?
Yeah, I'm out.
Bold strategy.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that too.
So let's just reverse the weeks for a second. What if he signed before Chris Wheeler?
Not Chris Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler. Sorry. What if he signed before Zach Wheeler? Does Zach Wheeler's price go a lot farther north than the 120?
Probably a little bit.
Yeah.
I would say maybe 135, 140.
Yeah.
Isn't unrealistic.
I'll tell you who is happy. Go ahead.
Who's that?
Garrett Cole's got to be like,
Oh, he's getting 300. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's all but
300.
All but cemented. Michael in Charlottesville. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up there, Michael? Michael, hey buddy.
Good morning.
Hey buddy.
It's a victory Tuesday. Hey, I wanted to call for one reason only. I feel like we're not as happy after this win as we usually are. Why is that?
Because the Eagles aren't a good football team.
They're not a good football team, and I'm not calling to try to convince you guys of that.
Mm-hmm.
But hear me out on this. We couldn't get the timing down for a simple screenplay before this game. We couldn't complete a pass, a 5-yard pass to the flat before this game. We couldn't do a lot of things offensively before this game, and this game proved to us that number 11 on our team, Carson Wentz, can throw the ball downfield, can lead a team to a late quarter overtime win. And he's the one that we know, looking into next season and the season after that, that we are going to depend on. So this gave us at least some semblance of a hope for the future that, yes, Carson Wentz is a good quarterback. We can rock with him. He can get the job done.
No, you're absolutely right, Michael. Thanks for the call. If there's any takeaway from the game itself, it's that you still have that life. But remember, the rest of the division sucks. That's the only thing we can take away from that. And you know, let's look at that optimism right now. Sam, what did the good people say on Twitter to round out our Twitter poll today?
Are the Eagles winning the division, yes or no? We have over 1,000 votes today. 56% say yes.
Did it climb a little bit since the last two
points?
Yeah,
I think it was 53 before.
Look at us. Look at us.
Yeah.
Once again, look at us.
It's risen.
And that's brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
And Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is my feeling on the Eagles is still meh. It's a solid meh.
That recalls a Twitter poll from a couple of days ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I'm positive about Carson. I liked Carson last night.
Jamie, unrelated to your totally ruined computer now. What was your takeaway today?
My takeaway of the day is I know the Eagles are not a good football team overall. But let's try and be positive about these last 3 weeks. Because they're not going to tank,
mm-hmm.
on purpose at least.
Mm-hmm.
They have meaningful football left. And the playoffs are there. Let's not be curmudgeon fans that are upset with a playoff appearance. Let's try and be positive these last 3 weeks. Support the squad and go Birds.
Are you saying that I go to Bob for a reason?
Yeah, right, Bob?
Yeah, Bob, I guess.
Phenomenal. Trey.
Hey, go Birds!
My takeaway of the day is remember these NFC East standings. In first place, sucks at 6-7. In second place, sucks a little more at 6-7. Third place, sucks a lot more at 3-10. And then sucks the most in fourth place at 2-11. Go get them.
Yes.
They're still alive. Breathing air into the lungs of Philadelphia sports fans.
I think I got my swagger back.
Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Y'all smoked it crack. I'm sure.